Welcome to installment 212 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Again, continuing our discussion of Tzeiras, previously we have been discussing skin conditions of a human being. Positive commandment 102 discusses a similar affliction on a garment. And positive commandment 103 discusses a discoloration on a house. As we have been mentioning in the previous classes dealing with Tzeiras, that although it is normally translated as leprosy, this condition is really completely distinct from the medical condition known as leprosy. Nowhere is this seen clearer than in today's commandments, where we see that this is not only a skin condition, which goes on human skin, but also in some cases that could develop on a person's garments and on the walls of a person's house. Positive Commandment 102 is the law governing the tzeiras of a garment. And the Rambam briefly describes that all of the laws contained in this commandment, for example, how the garment becomes impure and what we must do with it. Do we lock up the garment and see if the sign of tzeiras spreads, as we do with a person? Some cases we do. Some cases we will tear out the spot which has become discolored. Some cases we will burn this spot, or even the entire garment. Other cases we will wash it and purify the garment. All of these laws, as the Rambam explains in his legal code, and as explained in the Tractate Negoyim, all of these are included under Positive Commandment 102. The impurity of tzeiras could only be conveyed to certain types of garments. First of all, a colored garment would never develop this impurity of tzeiras. Even if a mark of the proper color would develop on such a garment, it would not obtain this type of impurity, only a pure white garment. In addition, it was only garments made out of wool or linen or leather garments or pieces of leather used in a person's house. Any other materials would not develop this impurity. What were the signs of this impurity? There were basically three signs. A deep green color, a spot developing on the garment, was one sign. Yarakrak, or adamda. If it was an extremely red color, this would also be a sign of tzeiras. And then if one of these colors spread, this was the third sign. The process went as follows, briefly. First, if a spot of red or green, or a combination of the two, approximately the size of a dime, a gris, was observed on such a garment, the garment was set aside for 7 days. If we see at the end of 7 days that the spot has spread, the entire garment is burned. If the spot, however, remains unchanged, or even if it grew in size but became dimmer, or even if it remained the same size and remained the same color or became a stronger color, in any of these cases, we would lock up the garment for another 7-day period. And at the end of this second week, on the 13th day, we would observe it again. If the spot weakened in color, we would then wash the garment and it would become pure, be declared pure. If, on the other hand, the spot changed color from red to green or green to red, in that case we would tear out the spotted part of the garment, burn that piece, patch up the hole, wash the garment, immerse the garment in a mikveh, and then it would be declared clean. However, if the impurity grew, this spot grew or became stronger in color or even remained the same color and size, then the entire garment would be burnt. Positive Commandment 103 is when these spots develop on a house, on the walls of a house. If the stones turn red or green, as in the case of the tzeiras of a garment, so too a similar process of observation, of seeing what happens exactly to the spot, must take place. And the laws of tzeiras bayis, that Rambam tells us in Sefer HaMitzvahs, contain all the laws of when a house must be closed for observation, when it must be torn apart and demolished, either a part of the house or the entire house, how exactly it becomes impure, and how it can convey impurity to someone who enters the house. to briefly describe the process involving a house which has tzaras. Once the house has been inspected and it has been determined that the spot is tzaras, the house is closed for a week. If at the end of this first week the color has turned lighter or disappeared, the one spot is scraped off and the house is declared pure. Should the spot remain the same, it is closed for a second week. If after the second week it turns lighter or disappears, again the spot is scraped off, and the house must be purified using the purification procedure associated with the Metzeda, using the two birds and the process as described in Positive Commandment 110. Should it remain the same, then the stones where the spot is are removed, new stones are put in and re-cemented, and the house is closed for another week. Should the spot not come back, the house remains must be purified as it would be as described in Commandment 110 with the two birds, etc. Should the spot come back and appear on the new stones, then the entire house must be demolished. As the Rambam explains in his legal code, all tzeiras was sent to the Jewish people as punishment for their sins, and more so as a message that they should correct their ways and do tshuva. The Rambam says that this was an eisu pele, that it was an amazing, miraculous thing that God sent to the Jewish people. And he actually did it in stages, as the Rambam quotes from the Medrash. First, if a person had sinned, especially in the idea of lashon hara, slanderous talk, as we have discussed over the past few days, then God would make this tzaras break out on the house of a person. And he had 3 weeks in which to mend his ways and to agree, admit that he had done wrongly and resolve not to return to his previous path in the future. Should even after 3 weeks he refuse to do so, his house is entirely demolished. However, it does not stop there. Should the person still not take the hint, then God brings it closer to the person. Not only their house becomes stricken with tzaras, but even their garments are become affected with tzaras. Should this not inspire the person to correct his ways, then the garment also gets burnt. And only then does God strike the person himself with tzaras, and then does he get the skin condition. And he's then thrown outside the camp, and outside in isolation from the rest of the Jewish people. He will have time to contemplate on where his behavior has brought him, and this will bring him back to tshuva and correct his ways. One of the interesting laws associated with the tzaras of houses is that after the house is declared to have tzaras, everything in the house becomes impure. Some things are incapable of being purified, such as clay vessels. And should a clay vessel be inside a house when it is declared impure, that vessel must be thrown out, it must be broken. Therefore, before the Kohen made his proclamation about the house, he informed them that everything should be removed, emptied out of the house, in order to avoid any needless loss of property. Which we see here, an amazing thing of the power of the Kohen and the power of the Torah. This condition is not intrinsically a medical condition, something of an infection, something of physical impurity. The thing which makes the impurity is the Kohen's verbal proclamation. If the Kohen has not declared the house impure, everything in the house remains pure. Once he declares it impure, everything becomes impure. Therefore, everything is emptied out of the house in order to save the money of the person in the house. The Medrash points out that this is also to bring about the punishment mida keneged mida, that it should fit the offense of a person. As the Medrash explains that sometimes the tzeiras on a house is brought as punishment for stinginess. A person might say, for example, to his neighbor, please lend me an axe. And the neighbor will say, I can't lend you an axe. I have no axe. What happens? In recompense for this stinginess, God has the person's house afflicted and stricken with tzeiras, with this condition on the walls of the house. Along comes the Kohen, and before he declares the house impure, he orders the house emptied out and all of the possessions put outside in the street. The neighbor comes and says, oh, you said you didn't have an axe. I see they just took an axe out of your house. In this way, the person is shamed and will never again return to his previous stingy path of action. Our sages tell us that ultimately the destruction of the houses was for the good of the Jewish people, as they explain that when the Jews were preparing to enter the land of Israel during their 40 years of the in the desert, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan that the Jews were going to enter and conquer hid all of their riches, all of their gold, down below the walls of their houses, so that when the Jews came and conquered the land, they would not be able to take the riches of the inhabitants with them. And the Canaanites hoped that later they would be able to return and discover their riches. The Jews then came into the land and conquered the land and were living on veritable riches without knowing what was contained within the walls of their houses. God therefore came and did them a tremendous favor, had their houses afflicted with tzaras. And eventually the tzaras reached such a form that they had to break apart the walls of their houses. What happened then? They broke down the walls of the houses and found tremendous riches within the walls. This apparent misfortune contained within it the greatest fortune whatsoever, the greatest treasure. The Jews, instead of losing their houses, actually gained tremendous riches way beyond the value of their entire house, of their entire house was worth in the first place. This is a striking example relating to all punishments of the Torah, that although they appear to be uncomfortable, and all suffering a person must endure is also certainly an uncomfortable experience. However, ultimately we must have faith and believe that God brings all of this to a person for his own good, and it is for a long-term benefit. Therefore, even though there was suffering involved in the destruction of the house, and embarrassment, and inconvenience, and loss of wealth, nevertheless, it ultimately was for the good of the person. After going through this experience, they acquired great treasure. This concept is also illustrated by a story relating to Rabbi Akiva, who was once traveling to a certain city, and he brought with him three things, a donkey, a light, and a rooster. The donkey was to carry his belongings. The rooster was to wake him up in the middle of the night so that he could study the Torah. And the light was in order that he should be able to see in the middle of the night and study. What happened? When Rav Akiva was unable to gain admittance to the next city, he was forced to sleep in the middle of the night in a forest. A lion came out of the middle of the forest, says the Talmud, and devoured Rav Akiva's donkey. Then a wild cat came and destroyed the rooster, killed the rooster. All he was left with was a candle. However, a great gust of wind came and blew out the candle. Rav Akiva remained calm throughout all these events and said, "Kol Avid Rachman L'Tava Avid. Everything God does is for the good." The next day, he entered the city and found people looking at him in amazement. The entire town had been ravaged and destroyed by a bunch of wild robbers. And Rav Akiva realized that had his candle been lit up, the robbers, when they went through the forest, would have seen him. Should the donkey or the rooster have been alive, they would have made noise, and he would have been discovered and probably killed. And therefore, he told everyone in the town, "Didn't I tell you that Kol Da'avid Rachmano L'Tov Avid, that everything God does is for the good?" Here, he felt a misfortune. He lost his donkey and his rooster and his light, and he was unable to study Torah, which was the biggest pain for a person like Rav Akiva, the greatest misfortune that he could experience. Nevertheless, he had faith that it was for the good. And here he saw it was for the good. And so too in all misfortunes that come to a person, ultimately they are for the good, even though we might not see it immediately. Nevertheless, we pray to God that he makes it a good, not only in a concealed sense, that later on we'll see that it's good, but we should also experience now and should feel it that it is good in all ways, not only in a concealed way, but in a revealed way as well. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.